God is always good. And the question becomes, have we been good to him? If not, we need to get our priorities in order. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about the season that we are so-called, the season that we are in, the so-called season that we're in. Before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again. We are so thankful for all you do for us, oh Lord. We are so blessed because you have blessed us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in, especially those of the household of faith. We pray and thank you, Father, so very much for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength to those of us who have our health and strength. Thank you, O Lord, and we pray for the leaders of this congregation as we move on into the worship portion of our services. We pray that things would be done decently and in order, and we thank you, Father. We pray for the leaders and their families. We pray for all the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for each and every one that shall come from this point on. We thank you, O Lord, for Jesus, your Son, of whom you sent down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Father, we're just so grateful, and we're praying that there be peace in the street. We're praying that there be peace in our neighborhoods, in our country, and in our world. We just pray for peace, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have given us your Son when he died on yonder's cross, that he might save mankind. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we come now and move into this portion of our services, we pray for all that are under the sound of my voice, and we pray for those who still might be on their way, that they may find safety in getting here. We pray for those who are traveling, that they may find traveling grace and arriving mercy. Father, we just thank you for everything, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, starting and concluding with verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. The true meaning of joy is what the title I'm using this morning. As we approach this time of the year, we have been told we are supposed to be joyful and happy. But how can people be filled with joy when they are told how to spend their money and what to spend it on? And many of us are spending money that we do not have in the first place. We're buying things to give to people who sometimes don't even deserve them. And sometimes they're never appreciative of what we give them. We are bombarded with ads on TV, radio, and in the newspaper telling us to shop here, buy this, take a trip there. It's no wonder many of us become depressed during this time of the year. So today, let us look where we can find real joy, lasting joy, and it won't cost us very much at all. What it does cost won't be measured in dollars. The first thing we must do is put Jesus first. And why Jesus first? Because he first loved us. So we love him. How can we help but love him? He loved us even while we are unloving and unlovely. When we want to have and hold the joy onto the joy at all times, we must think and put Jesus first. The relationship we have with Jesus must be maintained through daily walking with him and obeying him. We must be loyal to him. And somebody may ask the question, well, why? Because he told us to in his word in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This means we must do it His way and not our way. There is no commandment that tells one to go to the stores and spend a bunch of money to attempt to please others. In other words, do not put your trust in front of Him. Do not put your shopping in front of Him. Do not put your buying of things in front of Him. Stop and think about the one who saved us first. Then use our time we have with Jesus to become closer to Him. He told us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 38, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and in His righteousness." Did not Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 tell us to rejoice in the Lord always? As a matter of fact, the writer said it twice. He said, "And again I say rejoice." This joy cannot be found down at the mall, nor can it be found in a present. It's only temporary joy. It only can be had when one seeks and serves the Lord and puts Him first. Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 21, "Our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted His holy name." As a matter of fact, you can shop all you want. I'm not telling no one not to go out and shop. Some of you want to buy and go out and shop and buy all the gifts you want. But first, just stay focused on who made it all possible. The shopping, the money, the health you enjoy in order to go shopping. Now, I'm not going to say don't go out at all, don't shop at all, because I know you're not going to do that. And besides, some of you might be buying me something, so go out and shop. That's all right. Just remember where your priorities should lie, and that should be in Jesus Christ. So put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. Then number two, put others second. Some folk think that the only time we should think of others is when they submit according to the Word of God, when they submit to us according to the Word of God. We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Now bear with me with this part. This does not mean for you to dump everything you have on your plate in my plate. Now I can help you by praying for you, but don't just dump, let me become your dumping ground. You've got to pray for yourself. Philippians 2 and verse number 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." That means I'm supposed to hear you when you submit to your problems to me, but I just don't want to become your dumping ground. Being selfish is not good for a Christian. We must learn to be concerned about others as well as ourselves. We must love our neighbors as well as ourselves. We need to become a prayer-loving Christian, not only for me, but for others also. Don't wait for somebody to ask you for your prayers. Pray for them anyway. Pray for them anyway. Even when they do not ask you to pray, pray for them anyway. But when they ask you to pray for them, call them by name in your prayers. Pray even when things are going right. Not just when their world is upside down. Pray for them anyway. We are to pray for them always, and specifically, the Bible in James chapter 5 and verse number 16 tells us to pray one for another. Pray even when things are going right, not just when their world again is going upside down. We are to even pray and love our enemies according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. The Bible says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good unto them that hate you." And I want you to watch this part. "Pray for them which despitefully use you, even though those who are against you and what you stand for, Christ. Love them and pray for them anyhow." We must offer encouragement to those who are not filled with joy like we should feel, the same joy that we should feel. We are to rejoice in the service of the Lord. We should rejoice and the Lord. Now, when you look at that text in verse number 39 of chapter 8, it says, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was happy. He was joyful. And he didn't go down to go shopping. He simply stopped by and had a serving of Christ served to him. He simply had himself baptized and put on Christ through the watery grave of baptism. And he went on his way rejoicing. That's how I know you can find joy in Christ. Then when I consider all the things that are out in the world to entice us, and some of us are easily enticed, when I consider some of the things that entice us, we need to check our priorities and look back and see what we're actually doing, what we're actually getting into. Now, by all means, we ought to make sure that Christ is first in our lives. How can I make sure that Christ is first? Well, make sure you obey His commandments and walk the way He wants us to walk, not the way we want to walk. Number three, we are to put ourselves last. We must be willing and ready, and we are to be willing and ready to help others and to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 38. I'm sorry. The Bible says, and he that taketh not up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We've got to follow Christ. And you know what? Nobody is going to ask you to pray for them if they don't think you're worthy to serve Christ and that your prayers may not get answered. Everybody wants their prayers to be answered. And some folk will tell you, I believe that you can get a prayer through. And I would answer them, I hope so. This means we are to follow Jesus in His path. He will lead us through our sufferings, and we should glory with Him. Many of us have forgot to put Christ in our lives. True joy does not come in a gift-wrapped box set of season 2 of your favorite TV show, nor is it found in our favorite garment, but instead it comes from the Lord. When we put Him on in baptism and become obedient to His word, sacrificing for Him and others we meet along our path of life. Let me use an example to show you what I mean. If a person who is unwilling to sacrifice, of a person who was unwilling to sacrifice and only interested in himself, you know the story in Luke chapter 12, starting at about verse number 16, the story of this rich man who had more than enough goods for himself, but not once did he mention sharing or helping others. In the verses of 12 through 19, 6 times between those few verses, he mentioned himself. What shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruit. He continued only to think of himself, never mind those who may be in need. But the Lord fixed him. He called him a fool and told him he was about to die. Gave him food for thought, if you will, in verse number 20. What's going to happen to your goods after you leave here? The Lord said to him. So the question for us is, what is your life? Is it that of Jesus, others, and then yourselves? Do you remember in chapter 8 of Acts here where we're talking about the eunuch? The eunuch received his baptism in Christ and put on Christ, and then he went away joyful after rejoicing after being baptized. We should not be joyous over things that we have accumulated. Now, it's all right to say, I've got this and I got that, but don't throw it out in the face of others. Don't put it out there like I'm bragging about it. You know, all of us have something going on in our lives. All of us have something that we need to, that we can be concerned about. All of us have something we need to be thankful to God for. all of us, if you don't have nothing but your health and your strength, be thankful to God for that. Because without your health and without your strength, you are nothing more than an empty shell, basically. We should not be joyous over things that others don't have and put it up in their face. If you want to know the true meaning of joy, remember the word joy. J is for Jesus, O is for others, and Y is for putting yourself last. So don't get caught up at this time of the year. Instead, seek permanent joy through Jesus Christ. Now, when I consider this matter of the eunuch, I think about that eunuch sometimes. And I say to myself, here was a man just riding along in his chariot. And here was Philip walking along to wherever he was going. And the two of them struck up a conversation. And the conversation went to Jesus, about Jesus. And he asked this man, he said, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I, at least some man, explain it to me? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, and he asked Philip about being baptized in verse 36. Let me back up there. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They went down into the water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Joy can be found in Christ Jesus. Joy can be found in the church of Christ. Joy can be found if you are serving the Lord and doing it righteously. Joy will not be found when you go to the store shopping. Now, you may find a semblance of joy if you go shopping, because you may get a chance to preach, to give the gospel to someone that you meet along the way. But you're trying to bring joy to them as well. So when I ask the question this morning, where is your joy this morning? Where is the joy that you should have? Where is your joy? Is it focused on things, or is it focused on Jesus Christ? And then I ask you another question this morning. If you if you don't have joy, I'll ask the question, why not? Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you should be joyful. If you know the Lord, you should be joyous, and you should continue to rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's not going to be long, and we're all going to leave this place. And if you live your life being unjoyful, you need to consider in your own mind why you're not full of joy if you know the Lord. Because the Lord is joy. The Bible teaches us that we are to love one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to forgive one another. Now, all these things contribute to the joy of a Christian when you do the will of the Lord. Now, another thing I want to say to you this morning is, while you're out there shopping, for all the shopping that you do, and just be careful. Be careful that you don't get caught up in something and causes you to go against the will of the Lord. Be careful that you don't overspend. Be careful that you do things decently and in order. Now, what's decent and in order? Doing the will of the Lord. And then, when I consider everything that goes on in this world today, I ask one question of you this morning. Are you serving the Lord in spirit and in truth this morning? Are you asking God in through your prayers and through your actions to bless you to walk in a righteous manner? Are you asking the Lord to show you the right way to go? Are you asking the Lord to bless you that you may be a blessing to others? Are you asking the Lord to guide you and set your footpath on the right, set your foot, your feet on the right path? You know something? If all of us got together, formed a hand-by-hand chain, and allowed others to see what Christ is in us. But before I say that, let me qualify that. Some of us might not be able to be a part of that chain because of the life we live. So are you living the life where you can stand up and let others see the light shining in you? Or are you dark? Is your light dark? If your light is dark, then you're not joyful in Christ. The true meaning of joy, once again, can only be found through Christ Jesus and helping others, and then finally being a help to yourself and a help to others as well. Remember that word joy, and consider that word joy in your life. Consider at this time, instead of going out and spending a bunch of money, bring the money and give it to the church. Bring the money and give it to the church here at Stony Island. That should help you to feel a little bit more joyful as well. Then, when this life is over for us, we can go away joyfully. When I think about how much the Lord has done for us, how much God has given us, you know something? Do you realize that without the Lord giving you your breath this morning, you couldn't have made it here? Without the Lord waking you up, lifting your heavy eyelids open this morning, you couldn't have seen how to get yourself dressed. Besides Him giving you the clothes and the raiment to put on your back, you couldn't have brought yourself here. Then He gave you an extra. He gave you food to put in your stomachs. He gave you a roof last night over your head to sleep under, to protect you from the elements. That ought to elicit joy in all of us. All of us should be joyful for those kind of things. Thank God that God is God, and thank God for His blessings for giving them to us. When I think about it, I couldn't have made it without the Lord. Now, there are those who believe that, for some folk, that believe that God doesn't exist. They don't like to speak of God because they don't think that God exists. They don't think that God is able and capable of doing what the Bible tells us He's able and capable of doing. But I submit to you this, that without the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be? I thank God for each and every day that I lift my eyelids open, that He opens up and props them open. I thank Him for it. I thank Him for every breath that I take. I thank Him for every step that He allows me to get up and use my limbs and my mind and my body to get to where I need to be at and to do what I need to do. God is good. All the time, God is good. And when I think in terms of what He has done already for me, or what He has done already for you, I realize just how really good God is. You know, and no matter where you shop at during this season and this time of the year, no matter what you buy, just remember how it all was made possible from the Lord Himself, from God Himself. He gave you a job to get the funds. He gave you the health to get to where you need to be at, where you're going shopping at. He gives you everything. And some of us, not us that's in here this morning, some of us won't even come out for an hour on Sunday morning. For just slightly over an hour to worship Him. I looked at something the other night, and they said it was something like 30 or 40,000 people there. And I say to myself, if we could get just a third of those or a quarter of those in the church each and every Sunday, wouldn't it be wonderful? But instead, we have to live with what we have. And we have to ask God to bless us to fill the church house up. And when we ask God to fill it up, sometimes He answers us, sometimes He doesn't. But nevertheless, I thank God for each and every one of you that are here. And you ought to thank God that you are here as well. And if you want to be like the eunuch this morning, you want to meet the Lord, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already taken these steps but somewhere you went astray, you come back to the Lord by asking Him to forgive you of your shortcomings, then asking the church to help you pray that you get your strength and your reasonable portion of your spiritual health back, that you may serve Him. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.